Phil Moss coming up shortly, and as far as heroes and villains are concerned on the text line, hero Aston Villa or any team that beats Arsenal are my heroes, even if it means we miss out on fourth place. Villain St James Park, Tottenham should never have set foot in that place again, says Tiger Vickers. And yes, Newcastle beat Angers Tottenham 4-0 over the weekend, and overnight and this morning, Aston Villa 2-0 over Arsenal at the Emirates, and Crystal Palace went to Anfield and won 1-0, so it's advantage Manchester City as far as the title race is concerned after they destroyed Luton 5-1 over the weekend as well. We'll break it all down with Mossy shortly. Scotty Scheffler-Berkey, and great to have Berkey in with us this morning. Three shots clear once again. He's gone birdie at 13 and 14. So yeah. Three shots clear from Ludvig Åberg, who realistically is now the only legitimate challenger for the green jacket. But Scheffler would have to, well, look at that drive on 15 there. So here he is at the par five.
Chance of eagle.
He'd need to have some ridiculous meltdown, which we know is never possibly far away in a Masters particularly, but he just doesn't look like he's got it in him that.
He seems in control, and you're right, the guys are fading around, and Colin Morikawa has put a couple in the drink and a couple of double bogeys, and you know, that's pressure, isn't it, when you're coming down the stretch to win a major, and he's done it so many times, has Scheffler. So, yeah, odds on for him to just close this out quite well.
Great weekend of footy, wasn't it? Some really close games, some surprising results. Good win for Parramatta, Loz. 27-20 over the North Queensland Cowboys over the weekend. Team that had been under a bit of pressure as well. Dejan Arce stepped up in the halves and had a good game for them.
Yeah, I thought he played really well. I thought Dylan Brown played well as well. But the Cowboys, they're still leaking plenty of points, aren't they? That's going to be their big concern. There's no drama with their attack. But it's just defensively they have to improve. They probably thought they had their chances during that game. But the Eels coming off a smashing the previous week against the Raiders, they would have just spoke about finding a way to win. And they did that on the weekend without Mitch Moses. It's going to be tough without Moses, but it gives them a bit of confidence. But there was some good games. That Manly Warriors game, geez, they're two teams that have improved out of sight. I don't say that lightly because Manly, I think everyone can see the improvement in them. But the Warriors had a great year last year, but I think they're an even better team this year. So if they can learn from the final series of last season and work out and understand what went wrong and what they have to fix, geez, I reckon they've got some strike and they've got a good forward pack. So they're a team that definitely can win, the Warriors. And I was never confident that they could get it done in big games.
Someone like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck-Berkey, you know, went over and played rugby, but he's just more suited to league. It's simple as that, isn't it?
It is. And yeah, the games are, you know, polarising apart. Like, they're so different, you know. And when he's got that set structure of what he wants to do at fullback, or if he's playing, you know, if he comes up and becomes a playmaker, he's just got the skill and ability to evade tackles. There was some work he did the other week where I think he caught the ball at fullback and went step, and just it's like a jack in the box. You can't get him. And look, it's completely different. Yes, he's played for the All Blacks and did quite well, but he's so much more suited to rugby league.
Hello, Mossy.
Hello, Mido. How are you going, buddy?
I've been better as far as what we saw in the Premier League overnight. Just disastrous results for Arsenal and Liverpool.
Yes, absolutely. I was trying to make you feel better before we got there, but anyway, you just want to go straight there, so that's all right. I'll jump on your bus, mate. Horrible, absolutely horrible. I'll steal the word from Jurgen Klopp that we saw him. If you're any sort of a lip reader, he said "wow" when Crystal Palace scored their goal. Now, I'm not sure if it was "wow, I can't believe how we conceded that," or "wow, the football that Crystal Palace played leading up to the goal and the finish itself," because it was an incredible team goal. And I just don't think we were expecting that type of Crystal Palace to turn up. And they were fantastic. They were good value. Did we have our chances to win the game? Absolutely. Should we have won it? Yes, we should have if we'd taken those chances. But that's, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. At the end of the day, it's been a disastrous week for Liverpool. And And as you said, Arsenal as well. That was a, Villa are chasing Europe, and they showed how you handle pressure. And they did exceptionally well against Arsenal. Although Arsenal will be ruining the first half, they had plenty of great opportunities to put the game to bed by half time. They didn't do it, and then they copped the sucker punch twice. So full credit to Villa, which also puts a lot of pressure on Ange and Spurs, because Villa take a 3-point lead over them in fourth spot now. Obviously, Spurs got thrashed by producer Tommy's Newcastle over the weekend, but they do have a game in hand on Villa. So that is really important now, of course, but they've still got a very, very tough run home.
Yeah, you were talking about Ange's side there, Tottenham, but to concede four, I know it was away from home, but you know that could come back to bite them too, Mossy, that goal difference at the end of the year.
100%, Loz. And as I said, they've also got, as you rightly pointed out, and I'll keep giving you credit for doing your homework early on, mate, but they've still got Man City, they've still got Arsenal, they've still got Chelsea, they've still got Liverpool. So not only is the game in hand critical, but their run home is a lot tougher, if I can put it that way, than Villa, who really, you know, they've still got tough games, of course, but Chelsea and Liverpool you'd probably call out as their toughest in their run home. Villa have put themselves in the box seat.
Gosh, Manchester United, average result, 2-2 against Bournemouth on the weekend as well. Where are they? 50 points after 32 games, 7th on the table. Sure, I mean, I think we've said it a million times, but how does Ten Hag keep surviving?
Well, he didn't survive the press conference because he stormed out. As soon as he was asked whether, you know, what his thoughts were on potentially presiding over the worst ever Premier League finish for Manchester United. And he didn't like the question, and he said it's not relevant, and he stormed out. So they're sitting in 7th spot. It's got disaster written all over it again. And, yeah, we've spent so much airtime over the last few seasons, Mido, talking about Manchester United and what needs to happen, and it's gone from a broom to a nuclear bomb to they've just got to clean the place out and start again. Like, you know, it's happened to other massive clubs in the past, and this is Manchester United's turn, but it has to be a drastic measures if they're going to turn things around and return to their former glory.
Mossy, on a local front, the derby proved to be exciting. Two goals in the last couple of minutes made it a cracker again.
Yeah, absolutely, Berkey, my Channel 10 colleague. Good to hear your dulcet tones, mate. it was a classic. It had great atmosphere, great crowd. I think Grubby was in the cove somewhere. I was trying to get the Channel 10 cameras to pick him out. I'm not sure they found him, but it was it had everything. And then late drama. Two young boys who found the score sheet for either side. Zach Sapsford for Western Sydney Wanderers in the 95th minute would have thought that he'd snatched a point for his team. And then up steps young Jaden Kucharski for Sydney FC in the 98th minute to win it for his side and the home side. And that's the first Sydney derby that's been won by the home side this season. So had a lot to like about the A-League. It's so important these marquee games put the best foot forward of the A-League, and it certainly did that on Saturday night at Allianz Stadium. Just, of course, soured by what happened just a few hours earlier around the corner at Bondi, and I just want to take this opportunity to send all my thoughts and condolences to everyone who's been impacted by that. We're at Randwick Racecourse at the time, and I can tell you the wave of human emotion that swept Randwick when news started filtering through was just remarkable. It's horrible stuff, but glad that sport in some ways on Saturday afternoon and Saturday night could put a smile on people's faces.
Very much so, Mossy, and well said. One of the, well, I don't know whether it was an upset, but just the result at the end of the game, Perth Glory having 8 goals put on them by Melbourne City. What happened there?
Well, some would say it's no fluke by Melbourne City, because they put 7 on Western Sydney Wanderers just a couple of weeks ago, and now they put 8 on Perth Glory, which I think is the biggest ever A-League result in the history of this competition. And look, Melbourne City, we've been saying it for a long time, they've got a roster that is underperforming. They should be a lot further up the table and a lot better than what they are. yesterday, they put that foot forward and they showed just what they can do. So that's one side of the coin. But of course, when you cop eight, you've got to cop some flack for being terrible. And Perth Glory were just that, and then some. Yesterday, they just didn't turn up, and that will eat Alan Stadjic alive from the inside out, because he is such a competitor, such a winner, demands high standards, and to see his side put in such a meek performance will really, really eat away at him. But credit to Melbourne City, they were clinical. They showed what they've got in the tank, but is it too little too late? Time will tell. They've given themselves a sniff. They're 1 point behind Western Sydney Wanderers, so that loss to Sydney FC and the win yesterday have done Melbourne City a lot of good over the weekend. 1 point to go, 2 games to 1 point behind, 2 games to go. If they can get the 6 from 6, then anything's possible.
In the women's elimination finals, 2 cracking games, Mossy and the Mariners got up via a penalty shootout against Melbourne Victory, and Newcastle Jets beat Western United 4-2, scoring twice in extra time to ensure they're through to the semi-finals next week.
Yeah, that's right. Some two fantastic games, as you'd expect with elimination football. And Newcastle now host Melbourne City, who won the Premier's plate, and Central Coast host Sydney FC, who got pipped on the last day of the season. They lost their game, and Melbourne City won away in Perth. So, and they're two-legged semi-finals, right? So they're home and away. So, hard to pick. You never know what the week off is going to do to teams. Melbourne City and Sydney FC sitting there watching the weekend games, waiting to see who they're going to get. Can that halt their momentum, or does it give them a rest and freshen them up? Time will tell. But I think the good news is it's a two-legged semi-final, so home and away. And then the two winners of that go straight into the grand final on the 4th of May.
Do you follow the Bundesliga over there in Germany, Mossy? And did you see
certainly
what
keep
happened
an eye
over
on
there?
It.
Yeah, Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah, fantastic. They've done it so well. Xabi Alonso, of course, is their manager. He's decided to stay. We all thought that he would either take the Liverpool job or maybe even end up at Real Madrid, but he's decided to stay there. He said his work's not done, Loz. But
is it right that they beat? Sorry, mate. Was it right that they beat Bayern Munich, who'd won 11 straight?
Yes. Yep. Yep. Wow. Absolutely. So listen to you, go. Mate.
That's a fair effort, isn't it? Winning 11.
Yeah. What's your tie? What's your tie to Germany, Loz?
No, I just seen it online.
Keeping an eye on it, mate. No, it's fantastic, and it's good. It's good for the league as well, because you know you've Bayer Leverkusen are one of those sides that you know they've got a lot of support from, you know, outside just their own supporters as well, because of the way they played this season, the way Alonso coaches them. So I think it's a good result for German football.
Looking forward to Champions League, mate. Next leg,
sorry, mate.
Next leg, Champions League.
Oh, how good, Berkey? How good? So we've got
some incredible
Wednesday
games last outing.
Sorry?
There were some incredible games last outing.
Yeah. We were talking about it last week, actually. The intensity, the quality, the goals, the tension. It's a fantastic competition. I hope they never mess with it like they have with the World Cup. But anyway, that's a story for another day. But, yeah, Dortmund hosting Atletico Madrid and
Barca and PSG as well. On Wednesday.
Barca and PSG, massive one. So Barca hold that 3-2 advantage on aggregate. Atletico Madrid holding a 2-1 advantage over Dortmund. And then, of course, you've got Bayern and Arsenal and Manchester City hosting Real Madrid. They're both level on aggregate. So all to play for on Thursday morning in those last two games. Wednesday morning, the first two.
Thank you so much, Mossy. Have a great week. We'll chat later.
Yeah, you too. Look forward to it. Have a good one.
Phil Moss there. And, okay, just a little Masters update here. Scheffler's just putted. Was that for birdie, I think, Berkey?
That was birdie.
So he's looking to just hold, save par.
That was eagle.
Oh, was that for eagle?
Yes.
So it looks like he could go four clear here. As Åberg only managed to par the par 5 15th. And he hit his tee shot on the par 3 16th into the sand. Made a fantastic shot out of the sand, and it's just made par there at 16, the Swede Ludvig Åberg. So he's only got two to play, the difficult 17th and 18th holes. 3 shots behind Scheffler, who's on the verge of going four clear on 15.
One to there, two in the bunker, three out, four. No, he's putting for par.
Putting for par. Right, okay. Par five. Okay, so.
He's still ahead, though.
Three clear.
Morikawa.
And Morikawa was just, well, Morikawa made a couple of double bogeys. But he's back up to five under. But the two double bogeys he's made in his final round have absolutely crueled his chances. Max Homer at one point with seven under. He's now five under. And, well, Cameron Smith, he would be all done and dusted. Yes, he closed with a one under 71, the Aussie. So two under for the tournament. Eight shots currently off the pace. Tied for seventh is Cameron Smith. And Cam Davis in the end, well, he's three over for the day through 17 holes. One over for the tournament, tied for 12th. Remember, Adam Pengilly had that bet plus five he had Cam Davis in the Aussie handicap. So for those who've followed Pengilly, that should, unless he has an absolute shocker on the last, that bet should salute for Adam Pengilly. Okay, on the text line, gents, heroes, Newcastle Rugby League for putting on a fantastic magic round on Saturday with craft beer, street food, pro wrestling. Villains, my new glasses, my reading of the form failed to find a collect, says it's all BS. And yes, we had Adam Devcich from the Newcastle Rugby League telling us about that magic round they put on for the local comp on Saturday. And looks like there were some great games of footy. I see Blake Austin scored early for the entrance as they beat Lakes United 28-24. Wyong beat Blake Ferguson's Curry 25-24. Maitland 20-10 over the Northern Hawks. And Cessnock beating Macquarie 26-6. And Central, Newcastle beating Wests 22-8. Looks like all pretty good games of footy and a great day there on Saturday. Steve's on the line. G'day, Steve.
G'day, boys. Good weekend. Big weekend of sport.
It is.
Certainly was, mate.
What have you got for us?
Right, I'll do the hero first, and don't like wrestling, professional wrestling legend Bret Hart,
the Hitman.
The Hitman, exactly. He bought a promotion out to Australia last week. Now, had he taken it to Melbourne or had he taken it to Sydney, he probably would have sold three times the amount of tickets of what he did. But he bought it to little country Victoria, where they got about 2,500 people to watch the watch the fight night. And it was just amazing that he brought it to the people. Everyone that was there was absolutely rapt. And, like, you can have a look at what's left of poor old Brett's body, and you can see what professional wrestling, albeit predetermined outcomes, but the toll on the body is terrible. But he brought it to the people, and that's my hero.
Well, what about your villain?
The fact that the NRL haven't adopted the three-point system for a win. Gold Coast should have got a point after last night.
They're brave.
They played out of their skin. Like going last Monday, you could have said that Hasler, Arthur, the Canterbury coach,
Terrell Adler,
they were all on the block. All three teams, to be fair, probably played out of their skin, played for the coach. But the fact that the Titans last night, they don't get nothing. Like, if it's a draw at full time, they both get a point. If you win in full time, you get an extra point. So it's 2-1. If you win in normal time, you get 3 points. I think it's only fair.
Yeah, but the opposition to that is, why should one game be worth 3 points and all the others be worth two?
No. Parramatta beat North Queensland, right? In normal time, they get 3 points.
So just saying, instead of two points, all games, it's 3 points.
Correct.
And a loss is 1 point? Is that what you're saying?
No, a draw, No. 3 points for a win, nothing for a loss in normal time.
Right.
If it goes to extra time, both sides get a point. And if you win in extra time, you get an extra point. Yeah. So it'd be a 2-1
split. But isn't that, Steve, like... if you win by 60, and that's a beautiful win, is that worth more than a win of
a 1 point
win? 1 point win?
No. It's like if you win in regulation, you win in regulation, you get 3 points. If you win in extra time, the team that took the game to extra time gets rewarded by getting a point for their effort. You've got to remember, like when we bought extra time in, 20 years ago, no one considered the effect that that extra, like that win in extra time, could have on the table.
No.
Now it would just be rewarding the teams for their effort during what normal play. What at the end of the day, I think when you have a battle in football, it's in 80 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, but then you'd argue. Then you could argue that if I've played 80 minutes and then we go to extra time and we win, I deserve all three.
Correct. Yeah. Or all two. Or we're in 2024 and let's give everyone some points because they've tried.
Yeah, they've participated.
You win or you lose.
Yeah.
And that's the harsh reality of it. And that's why there's pressure on coaches and pressure on players.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 1353 53 0419 767 272 on the text line. Some brutal text there. Hero has to be pride of Jenny and Declan Bates in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. Don't think you will see a better win in a Group 1 like that again. Bring on the Cox Plate. Villain has to be the ref in the Warriors Manly game, giving that penalty at the end of the match for the tackle on Johnson. Didn't look like much in it, says DC from Greenacre. We did speak about it earlier. I'm with you, DC from Greenacre, but as Loz said, in this day and age, they're going to give that when there's any sort of contact. Doesn't matter what type of contact, and the players play for it. They know they'll get a penalty as well. And that's what occurred on Saturday afternoon.
He played for it for sure. There wasn't any doubt in my mind, once they went to the video referee, or the bunker, to have a look at what happened, if there was contact on his leg.
For a second?
Yep. He was in all sorts. You knew what the result was going to be.
Villains are the referees and video bunker. I can no longer watch the game on TV. The inconsistent calls has ruined the game. Hero was the two-day carnival at Randwick. Most consistent track to bet at. Credit to the Randwick curators. Chief from Nauru sending that one through. And, yeah, we had a couple of great days there at Randwick, especially considering all that rain the week before, of course, and the track played superbly again on the weekend. And, let's face it, we're just debating what should have happened in that Queen Elizabeth Stakes. That's the big debate to come out of the day, but it was thrilling to watch. I mean, you don't see that often, especially in a $5 billion Group 1.
No, but there's something about a horse that likes to take it out in front and try and hold on. It's a bit like a swooper. You know, if you've got a horse that likes to get back and has got a powerful finish, you like watching those horses. But prior to Jenny, there will be a lot of debate about not only her performance and the great ride of Declan Bates, but also the rides of the jockeys behind, because there'll be a lot of people asking, why didn't someone actually push them up earlier to try and stay in touch with Pride of Jenny?
My hero is Michelle Jenicke, who qualified for the Olympics yesterday, winning at the Nationals hurdles, running sick, and according to her, couldn't breathe during the race and in pain. My villains, the inconsistencies in the refereeing and some of the stupid rules that have been left in the hands of the refs that are honestly, when being made, are simply a personal opinion, like the challenges or non-challenging of the high ball. Just one example. Another day sending that one through. We've got Adrian on the line. G'day, Adrian. How are you?
Hey, g'day, guys. How you doing, man?
Not too bad.
Good, thanks, mate.
Look, hero, Joey Manu, the best fullback in the world. Honestly, it's a bit like where Bulldog in today's papers called for Stephen Crichton to go to fullback for Canterbury. Fair enough. But honestly, the Roosters, look, Joey Manu is my favourite football player for my least favourite team. And I don't want to help him, but he should be the whatever team he's in, even if it's New Zealand. Sorry, Charles, and sorry, James Tedesco. You've got to find other positions. Joey Manu has to wear the one jumper.
He's a good player. That's his best position too.
He's got to be there. I mean, he's going to head off to rugby. So, as I said, I don't help the Roosters, but Trent Robinson, if he dig his heels in, I mean, to me, James Tedesco can make a terrific 5'8 or centre on either side.
Yeah, he probably could, Teddy, but I think they're locked in to having Teddy at the back.
But why though, Loring?
Oh, that'd be something you'd have to ask the coach.
What would you do?
I think seeing Manu at fullback, if you're going to play him as a centre, I think you've got to give him the license to go and do what he wants to do. You say to him, mate, I need you, rather than hold your width and hold your space out there as a right centre, mate, we need you to find your way into our attacking system, and I'm going to give you a license to do whatever you want.
Yeah, but Laurie, they've tried that and it hasn't worked, only spasmodically. And if you're the opposition, if I'm the opposition coach, please, please, please leave Manu at right centre and I'll just easily devise a situation where he doesn't get the ball or minimally. At fullback, I can't do that. He's going to get the ball. He's going to damage and destroy us.
A lot of people would agree with you. But I think it's a matter of just them fitting their best players in and trying to work out where they all fit.
Well, that's what I mean.
Who's your villain, Adrian?
My villain is the referee. I mean, for sending Sam Hughes off, for 10 minutes in the bin, he came down and rubbed his face. What else did he do?
I agree with that. I tell you what, though, if you're a Bulldog supporter, I think you'd be happy with what they did the other night against Melbourne.
Mm.
They had their chances to win that game too. I think they've improved. Well, they have. They've improved the Bulldogs. I know they've only got two victories, but they're a far better side this year than what they were.
No doubt.
That's
for last year.
Yeah. A team where you hope to close out a game as well. Like, as in
big
moments in games, can they hang on? It's a work in progress for Serraldo and those guys to be able to find their best outcome to get the win. Mm.
Storm are an amazing team, though, aren't they? What they haven't grabbed me this year. Not once.
Yeah, they're 4-1.
And then they're sitting second on the comp. I haven't looked at them this year and going, they're in the top two or three teams, and they're gonna challenge. But they're just gonna win games, and they're gonna be there at the end of the year. And who knows what they may well do, because they've still got some great players. But just with their attack, I don't know.
It's like a factory down there, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
One out, one in. They know the game plan.
Yeah.
They execute well. Do your job, as we spoke about earlier, and they get the win.
That great game Thursday night, Roosters Melbourne at Allianz. $1.85 Roosters, $1.95 Melbourne to kick off the round.
$1.85
The Roosters, the slightest favourites.
It was $1.90 a piece to start with. Then it went to $1.80, $2, and now it's back to $1.85, $1.95. I think I've got to be on the Roosters. Mm. And you know the other thing I thought about the other night when I was watching the Roosters play? And Adrian mentioned about where you put Joey Manu. I'm wondering whether the Keary Walker fit is good for the Roosters. I don't know whether that's the right combo. So
this is your coaching hat.
Yeah, I'm just sort of trying to figure out what's the best combination for the Roosters and trying to fit your best players in. But I'm unsure, as an outsider looking at the Roosters at times, where they all fit and what the best combination is to go for. And I don't know, Robbo's obviously got the plan in his mind, but I think there's still some adjustments they could make. Because when Sandon Smith played, I thought he looked really, really good. And then you go, well, could Manu play six and give him a roaming license rather than having your centre roam, give your 5'8" the ability to play down a short side, but also get him to swing two passes wide, or you give him the option of just coming and carrying the ball if he wants to.
Could Tedesco do a lock here and go from 1-6?
He could, but whether you want to do that at this stage when you haven't trained him up to do that, that'd be a big ask. Mm-hmm. To go from being a fullback all your life, no pre-season, to go, here you go, Teddy, 6 weeks in.
Do your best.
Do your best. And bloke's going to rugby next year, and then I'm going to put you back there.
Oh. Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot to consider. But I'm unsure of what the best combination for the Roosters is. There you go. When I look at the play, I think they've got a lot of good players, but I'm unsure of where they all fit into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But I reckon once they find it out, they're going to have a pretty good side.
Thanks, Adrian. We've got Jason. Morning, Jason.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
No, not too bad. Thanks, mate. What have you got for us?
My hero is the police officer from the weekend, and my villain is Sean Johnson for milking it. I'm not saying that because I'm a Manly supporter, but not showing a good thing to all the young kids out there.
Well, he certainly milked it, in my opinion, as well.
And many others would have as
The way the rules are, that was always going to be the correct decision.
Yeah, I know.
But unfortunately, I was as frustrated as you, because you're sitting there going, oh, please. But the way they've adjudicated, and you've got to protect those blokes when they're kicking the ball. But you're right. No, he played. He knew exactly what he was doing, Sean Johnson.
Yeah. Also, a Meadow.
Yep.
Yeah, mate. I'm the one that rang up the other week, mate. I live in your old house in Bowen Park, mate.
Unbelievable.
I'm not going to say the address. I'm not saying the address, mate.
No.
I know which. I'm in that original house, mate.
Incredible. It looks very different to the house I grew up in. I know quite a lot's been done in that area, but obviously God's country for me, mate. Absolutely.
And I'm not sure if that's your dad's name on the board at the Cargo Inn, mate.
Look, there are a million Middletons on that board at the Cargo Pub.
Yeah, mate.
No, thanks for calling in, Jason.
No worries.
And have a good one. Yeah, classic. He rang up the other week, said he's living in my old house where I grew up. What are the odds?
And he's talking about Cargo Bar?
Not quite. more heroes and villains. Hero are the connections of Circle of Fire for an emotional victory, RE, the recent passing of Stefano Cherchi. Villain, the NRL, with an overreaction to what is now deemed dangerous contact to players, says Ryan. Heroes, Tiger fans for turning up at Campbelltown. Very dedicated. Des Hasler can now get a haircut. Villain, golden point for semis only. Request only two men in the tackle, less injuries. Regards, Neville, Manly fan at Nowra. Sending that one through. Prior to Jenny, Maher and Declan Bates. For the Queen Elizabeth, villains of the punters and connections complaining about the ride on Pride of Jenny. If you're not going to take the fight to her, then be ready to chase the fast speed. Pride of Jenny has had a great last 7 months. Cheers, Phil. Andrew Brown's coming up on Radio Tab this morning with Press Room. How are you, Brownie?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mido. Always great to be on Masters morning, but of course, naturally, thoughts with everyone there in Sydney, the events, while we're enjoying the sport and the racing on Saturday afternoon. So, yeah obviously, an area I know very well when I've been in Sydney too, so naturally, thoughts there. Big morning coming up, and of course, we'll keep people updated with the Masters, but it looks all over though, doesn't it? So, yeah. What a golfer he is, just extraordinary form that he's carrying at the moment, with everything else happening in the background as well. But in coming up with David Fowler and Press Room, of course, looking back on all the big weekend at racing, and I was speaking to David on Saturday about Pride of Jenny, and yes, I mean, everyone talks about Secretariat overseas, but locally, have we seen something like that before? I think you have to go way back to the 70s, for those who can remember, with Scotch and Dry, and a few others, of course, naturally, Vaux Rogue, but that was quite just extraordinary performance, one of the great moments in racing, no doubt. That'll be talked about this morning as well. And, of course, got all the previews, Mobile Rolling, Black Bookers, and, of course, the Queensland Carnival not too far away as well. So plenty happening as per usual, Mido.
Great stuff, Brownie. We'll catch you shortly as Scotty Scheffler walks up 18 at the moment to Berkey. Four shots clear. There couldn't be a better feeling just about in sport, could there be?
And as we just heard then, it was the talking about the imminent baby that his wife is about to have. So, he's obviously had two things to concentrate on today, and obviously the welfare of his wife. So he'll be on a plane as ASAP and getting ready for baby number one.
Yep. And Aberg, 7 under par, 4 shots off the pace. And then Colin Morikawa in third, just ahead of Max Homer and Tommy Fleetwood. Morikawa, 5 under par. Huge punters post-mortem coming up. There'll be some opinions. There's certainly been on our show this morning in regards to what we saw in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. Ron Duffacy joining us. How are you, Duff?
Yeah, g'day, guys.
I heard you speaking about it briefly on Thoroughbred Weekly yesterday, just your little summation in the end of what we saw there in the Queen Elizabeth on Saturday.
Oh, well, it was just a unique race where Pride of Jenny just took ownership of it. I think the writing was on the wall when we saw the field, and she capitalised on it and just left the pack in her wake. So, look, I don't know whether there's a lot they could have done about it, maybe get on their bike, maybe at the 1200, but just the button was pressed at the right time there, and they were just left lamenting.
So how
Sorry, Duff. So if you're coming up against Pride of Jenny next race, then surely you're riding differently if you're one of those horses or on one of those horses.
Well, you are. You're not going to be running, 13 and 14 second sectionals early in the race. You're going to be giving your horse a dig in the ribs. You know, they just went out there and they relaxed and thought they were going to get through the first half of the race easily, but it just was never going to be that way. So a few red faces after the race, whether it made any difference to the result, well, that's one we'll never know.
When did you go, oh, they're not going to get her here? Sorry, mate. Yeah, when did you go, oh, they're just not going to get up? They're just not going to get up.
We got you, Duff. Oh, we've lost Duff.
Yeah. I think his answer was, I don't think they did.
Yeah.
I think anyone did.
Because when I watched it, you thought, what, 1,000 out?
Yeah, it was earlier than you'd usually think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was probably thinking or hoping, oh, no, something will come out here and have a crack. They might run it down. Mm. Or, yeah, good chance of running down because we don't see it that often. Mm. And then once they sort of come around the 400, I was like, no, this is all over. This is all over.
Sorry, we got you back there, Duff.
Yeah, gotcha. I just had a bit of delay there. I don't know what happened there, but we're right now.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, Duff, when you were watching on Saturday, go, geez, I don't think they're going to get her here.
Well, it would have been about the 800 when that they hadn't made up any ground at all. So, but they couldn't because that's where she ran a class for sectionals between probably the 1200 and the 600. And that's where the other jockeys started to panic, but it was too late. They couldn't run the sectionals to run her down. So it was just an exciting race. And that's what happens sometimes with great front runners in the past that have got away with it. And she's a mare at the top of the game and left them red-faced there at the finish.
What about the Oaks? I mean, we're all talking about Zardozzi and Orchestral and then Peter Moody's horse, Autumn Angel. She gets up.
Yeah, look, she's a good mare. He's a terrific trainer, Peter. And he's got Catherine Coleman with him now. But he just gets these horses right for the carnival. She was on the back up. She could have went one way or another there, whether she had the too tough to run on a heavy track with 61. The previous week. So those backup horses were gold there on Saturday, Autumn Angel, Circle of Fire, and maybe one or two others. So it turned out that little setback that she had, being a late scratching leading into the race, is proved out to be a blessing for her. And Zardozzi was good again, and Orchestral maybe just come to the end of it there. So I wouldn't mark her down too much on that.
And in the Queen of the Turf, it was, hard luck for a tissue backers there. Duff, what'd you make of it?
Yeah, should have won. Just got held up at a vital stage when Campanessa wouldn't let her out of the pocket, which is fair enough. And he got you. He's just a marvellous mare. Two Group 1s, a Group 2, and three runs this preparation. So it's hard to part of her. She just puts herself into a position, and she's a real trier.
Well, it was another great day Saturday. Looking forward to the all-aged and a big punters post-mortem coming up, Duff. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Ron Duffy there. Huge show coming up with the crew on Sky Sports Radio. And we've got to give a winner out for Heroes and Villains today as well. And thank you for all the calls and texts. Going to give it to Big Pete. And his hero was the police officer, considering what we saw there at Bondi Junction on Saturday. We'll go outside of the sporting world for that one this morning. And his villain, mainly based on the volume of people who had this as their villain, the jockeys behind Pride of Jenny. And that's for you as well, Loz, because you were disgruntled.
I was a disgruntled punter.
Mm. So well done, Big Pete. And thank you for all the calls and texts this morning. We're just watching Scheffler. He's hit his tee shot into the bunk on the 18th. So he's just doing his approach as we
speak.
What
about the shot out of there?
And, gone into the other bunker. So it's, well, when you're four shots clear.
He's got a couple to play with, yes.
He's all right. He'll be okay, barring a Jean Vandeveld-like collapse, but we won't be seeing that this morning. I might go on YouTube.
Bring out the history books. How good's that?
Oh, mate, that was...
In
how
the drink.
You forget that?
Oh. Do you remember the, I think it was day three to day four, in his press conference, he said, remember the name, Jean Vandeveld, and we will remember it for just... destroying himself on 18.
Oh, dear. But thank you, Berkey, for coming in today.
Thank
you. Done, Berkey.
What's on for the week, mate?
We'll recap the Masters tonight, but then, you know, the Rugby League world just keeps going on, doesn't it? It just, you know, it'll be Jason Demetrio, it'll be Brad Arthur again. You know, I was going to ask you, Loz, like, how's Brad Arthur under pressure already? You know, like, there was talking about, you know, his coaching position already so far after, what, six games into the season?
Well, that was a good win for Parramatta the other night.
Yeah, absolutely.
That takes them to, what, 3-3?
3-3, yeah.
3-3. I don't know what their draw is like in the coming weeks, but they've just got to win enough games while Mitch Moses is out. Well, ever they got, yeah, Mitch Moses in that team with Dylan Brown and with Gutho and the forward pack they've got, that they...
They're
a finals team. They should play. Or should. I left them out of my eight, I should say that. But they're a very capable footy team that can play finals. And you know, they could finish sixth and win a final or two.
They've got the Dolphins Friday night in Darwin. Then they've got Manly at Brookie. And then they've got a bye.
Yeah, well, see, they could beat the Dolphins. They could beat the Dolphins. Manly, on what I've seen so far, pretty good. They might struggle against them. And then they got the bye. Moses might be back by then.
That's our Monday. Hey, safe travels to Singapore too, by the way.
Good on you, fellas, yeah.
Go and advance the game internationally.
Yeah, I will, mate. I'm about growing the game. Growing the game. We're going to get it started.
How
everywhere.
The emails going?
Look out. I know that rugby talk about the international and the world game being strong. You watch rugby league in the next 5 years. Watch what I'll be doing.
He's doing a walkout.
Super League.
We'll be playing in India soon.
Oh, that'll do me. It's admitted tonight. Have a great Monday, everyone.